I've been going through some changes lately. Don't worry, I'm not going to get too personal. The changes have been gradual, so I can't pinpoint exactly when the transition began, but I do know that this February, when I turned 39, I became keenly aware of it. Maybe it's something about being in my 40th year. It feels significant. Maybe it's the transition from being a mom of young kids to slightly older kids. Things at home are different. The way they need me is different. My job is changing, too. We've done some restructuring of staff and governance here at Atonement. Responsibilities are changing. I'm taking on new roles and letting go of other ones. It feels like a turning point. I find myself asking, who am I? Who is God calling me to be? Not because I've never asked these questions before, but because during times of transition, these are normal and important questions to ask. This is not the first time in my life I've been in a season of growth, and I know that many of you will resonate with this. Growth is good for us. It really is. But it doesn't always feel good. It helps to have a support system. I'm fortunate that my support system includes my spouse, my parents, and some good friends, and I pray that each of you has a support system. So let me ask you a question, and I don't want you to answer this one out loud. I want you to consider honestly, what is the most important relationship in your life? On whom do you depend when life gets difficult? On yourself, your parents, or spouse, your children, a best friend? You know that old joke that in a children's sermon, the correct answer is always Jesus. It may sound like a pat answer or even a cliche, but if you stay with me, I'll tell you where I'm going with this. We often talk about faith as a journey. And we've got a visual this morning. If you've seen this visual before, hopefully this is going to refresh your memory. And if this doesn't look familiar, it's all on our website. So taking a look at these, what is your relationship status with Jesus? And if you can't quite read the words, don't worry, I'm going to read them for you. Can you identify with one of these? Meeting Jesus. Faith isn't a big deal to me at this time. Following Jesus says, I don't know him well, so I don't include him in my daily life. Keeping close to Jesus says, I depend on him daily for guidance. And loving like Jesus says, I am willing to risk all, to give away my life for Jesus. It also says, my relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important in my life. By the time we arrive at this place where we can say these words in truth and with conviction, we are far into the faith journey. For those of us who aren't quite there yet, this sounds strange and frightening and even wrong. You may be thinking, shouldn't I be putting my spouse first? Wasn't that sort of in the marriage vows? Or maybe you're thinking, my kids are my whole life. What about them? When our relationship with Jesus is as God intends, our love for Jesus is not to the exclusion of loving others. In fact, the more we love God, the better we are able to love others. It doesn't seem to add up, but it's true. And the best example I can come up with is when Paul and I were going to have our first baby. We had a dog. She was a rescue, and she had been our baby for 2 years. Now, if you've never been in this situation, or if you're not a dog person, this is going to sound utterly ridiculous, and I want you to know I recognize that. On the other hand, I happen to know I am definitely not the only first-time mother who ever had this thought, so bear with me. I remember thinking, worrying so much about if the dog and the baby would get along, and what if the baby took the dog's place in my heart and I didn't have enough love for both of them? Silly, I know. But then, less silly, and maybe a more universal experience, was when a few years later, I was expecting my second child, and I could not imagine loving him as much as I loved my daughter, and I wondered how there would ever be enough of me and enough love for both of them, and of course, there was. And we even had a third child. The point is, the more we love, the more capacity for love grows within us. We are equipped to love because God loved us first, and the more love we give, the greater our capacity for love becomes. On this journey of faith, as we strive to grow and become imitators of Jesus Christ, we have as our goal that Jesus becomes the most important person in our lives. But what about all those other important people? Well, here's the thing. Jesus is the constant. Even our best friends fall short. Our kids let us down. Our husbands and our wives disappoint us. Unconditional love is what we strive for, but none of us can fully do it. Only God can and does love unconditionally. Maybe like me, you are right now in a time of transition. Maybe you have an upcoming graduation or a job change. You have lost someone you loved deeply. You're going through a divorce. Perhaps you're expecting a child, or you're facing an empty nest. Maybe you have a milestone birthday coming up and it feels significant. Or maybe you're not in transition at all. On the contrary, maybe you've been feeling stuck for a while. Whatever the case, I have a great idea for you. It is not too late to take part in the Love Series. It's the final session in our Year of Transformation, and page 2 of your bulletin has plenty of information about how to get involved if you haven't already done so. So please take that with you. I know that spring is a busy season, and I know that you may be sitting here thinking, I just can't fit it in. And to that I would say, maybe you are too busy not to participate. Please consider it. The gospel we read this morning is from Luke chapter 24. And Jesus, as I mentioned, has already risen from the dead and appeared to the disciples once, and now he appears to them again before he ascends to heaven. When Jesus died, the disciples had assumed and they had believed that everything was over, that with his death, Jesus was gone forever. As I read this gospel, I can't help but recall a line from one of my favorite movies, The Princess Bride, when Wesley tells Buttercup, "Death cannot stop true love. Here is the truest love of all. Jesus is love incarnate. Nothing can separate us from this love. It's the message that God gives us again and again throughout the scriptures. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, nothing, not life or death or rulers or angels, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. In the Psalms and Isaiah, we read that though the earth may shake and the mountains crumble into the sea, God's love will never change and will never be taken away. This is an incredible promise. It's almost unbelievable. God says, I will always love you. And even though we respond in our human way by turning away again and again, though we fail to acknowledge God's presence and decline to use the gifts God has given us, God continues to pour out that love, that abundant, free-flowing, almost wasteful or prodigal love. I really like the way the NIV translates this verse from 1 John, which we read just a moment ago. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. I love that word, lavish, extravagant, over-generous, undeserved. This is what it comes down to. We have a God who loves us. We have a God who chooses to love us while we are still sinners, who does not give up on us, who never closes the door. This is what it means to say that we are beloved children of God. It is the one thing on which we can rely. And the more we love Jesus, the more capacity we have to love those who are most important to us. Thanks be to God.